Blessing of the Gods. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1882.
"It's Lord Springdale, my lady," the nurse called out when she answered a knock on the door. The woman in bed gave a cry of joy. "Oh, please let him come in."
The nurse opened the door and Lord Springdale, who was a tall, very good-looking young man, walked in. He came across the room and his grandmother held out both her arms as she said,
"Oh, Ian, I'm so glad to see you, and it is so kind of you to come."
"Well, of course, I came at once," he replied. "I only got back from Scotland yesterday, and so I had no idea that you were in a hospital until the butler told me."
"I did not want to worry you while you were enjoying yourself with your friends," his grandmother said. "But now you have come, I feel better already. It was only because the doctors fuss so much that I let them bring me in here at all."
"Well, I think it's very wise," Lord Springdale remarked. "And I have heard that this is a very comfortable hospital." He had also heard, although he did not say so, that it was a very snobbish one. They definitely liked to have important people and aristocrats as their patients. Equally, he would always want his grandmother, to whom he was devoted, to have the best.
"Now, tell me about your visit to me," she asked. As she was sitting up in bed, he thought she looked not ill, but actually better than when she had been rushing about as she always liked to do, entertaining and helping her endless list of charitable causes. "First, I need to know about you, Grandmama," he said. "It was a terrible shock when I arrived home and learned that you had been taken away and was here in this hospital."
"Oh, it's really only the doctors fussing over me," his grandmother replied. "I could perfectly well have had a nurse at home, but they thought it would be better if I was here. What they actually meant was that it was better and easier for them."
Her grandson laughed. "I can believe that," he answered. "Now promise me that you are really getting well and will soon be coming back to the house, as it is not the same without you." His grandmother looked satisfied. He knew that she loved being with him in the large house in Berkeley Square that had been in the family for several generations. Not as long as the house in the country, where his lordship had been born, and which now belonged to him, although he always spoke as if it was she that was still in charge of it.
"Now, tell me about your party with your friends," Lady Springdale suggested. "I'm bored with talking about myself."
"Well, then you are the only woman who can say that," her grandson laughed. "The women where I was staying were, in fact, a perfect nuisance, because all they wanted to talk about was themselves, and they were not interested, as I was, in the horses and the sport." There was silence for a moment. Then Lady Springdale volunteered.
"I rather hoped that you would be bringing me some good news."
Her grandson groaned. "If you really thought that I would propose to that exceedingly dull daughter of my host, you are very much mistaken. I was very fond of her brother, as you know, because we were at Eton and Oxford together, but although I did not say so to him, his sister is a crushing bore." His grandmother sighed.
"Oh, Ian, I thought she was rather nice, and because you were keen on staying with the family, I foolishly hoped that you had other reasons for going there."
"Well, then you were very wrong," Lord Springdale said. "What is more, Grandmama, I can tell you here and now, I have no intention of marrying anyone." His grandmother gave a cry of horror.
"My dear boy, you are nearly 27, and you must have an heir. You know as well as I do, if anything happened to you, there would be no one to carry on as head of the family."